It is the Lean Into Art Cast. Cartoonists Jersey Drosp and Rob Stensinger discuss cartooning, storytelling, and managing a creative lifestyle. And probably many other abstract thoughts that occur to creative people. And now they will lean into it.
All right, it says it's recording. Ready or not? We're never ready. Never ready.
We're at where we are at. We're ever ready and we are never ready.
Oh, I almost wanted to leap off of that to talk about a philosophical discussion on readiness. That'll be in the next one. The first thing I got to talk to you about, Rob, is that Google Plus Hangouts thing. That's the first thing we have to address before we talk about anything else, because that's super exciting.
Yeah. It is. Have you had a chance to try it out yet?
No. I mean, it was just announced yesterday at the time of this recording. So what is it?
Sure. Well, all right. What Google Hangouts, I think they got changed. I saw an email come in just hours ago saying, oh, we changed the name to Messenger, I think, which I thought, that's interesting. Might be worth doing a quick internet search on that to verify. But essentially, Hangouts are where you can go to just video phone call, video chat, yep. Sort of piecing together a few different Google projects and products that make sort of just a group phone call experience. But what's interesting is as soon as that popped up, I thought, I have to share my desktop here because it's something that I experimented with for a little bit, but never really quite found a groove with Ustream or Justin TV and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I was excited and I kept tweaking with the settings, but I could never get it to see my desktop. Now, recently they said, now you can share your desktop, which is huge as, artists. We can stream our digital workday right there.
For sure.
We could work together. A bunch of us could be all there online drawing anything. For instance, one thing that came up on during the Comics Are Great recording, which I caught like the second half of earlier today, was a discussion about 24-hour comic day.
Yeah.
And that is just a sweet combination. Could possibly get a bunch of us together, which... I have committed to do 24-hour comic.
Oh, why? Why do you want to do that to yourself?
I don't know. So far, I worked third shift for enough years.
Yeah.
In my early 20s, and we had late teens and early 20s, where I still have what I call a broken internal clock.
Yeah. But and also a bit of a masochistic streak, I take it. With everything you've got in your plate right now, you're going to take on 24-hour comic day too. Ugh.
It's only like 24 hours, though.
But it's going to kill not... 3 days for you. How are you to recover after that?
Meditation. And the pure need to respond to my wife and daughter's needs after that.
Oh, man, you are out of your mind. I don't know how you do it or why you do it, but you are out of your mind. There's no way I could do that to myself. Not right now. Maybe next year. But yeah, going back to the Hangouts thing. Yeah, we talked about this at the end of Comics Are Great episode 28, which is at comicsaregreat.com/CAG28. Nobody's going to remember that anyway. But it'll be linked on leanintoart.com. But yeah, we talked about that a little bit, about this dream that I've had for several years now. Ever since I first encountered video streaming, I thought, wouldn't it be cool to aggregate a whole bunch of feeds, like Brady Bunch style tiles, on a screen of a bunch of like-minded friend artists, and they do 24-hour comic day, broadcast it all live, so you can watch these guys slowly fall apart over a 24-hour period, and gals. Another idea that I've had, and this Google Hangout thing totally makes this possible, is, have I told you this story before? It might be completely apocryphal. I'm not sure because I don't remember where I read it. But there's a story about in the 60s, some group of cartoonists. Now, remember, this is the 60s. Cartoonists were not respected in comics at any rate. They were rich cartoonists. But in the comic book industry, you guys were essentially, lackeys, right? I mean, amongst readers, they were respected. In their industry, they were abused. Does that sound fair? I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, diminishing the work of the guys in the 60s, because brilliant stuff was done. It's just the work standards were not good. Does that sound right?
That's my understanding.
So this a cartoonist was contacted by his editor, said, hey, we're going to do an 80-page giant special of issue of this comic. And I forget what it was. And he said, oh, great. When's it due? And this was Friday afternoon. He's like, Monday. So this guy was faced with doing 80 pages over the weekend. So he gathered up a whole bunch of his buddies and they locked themselves in a hotel room and just stayed up all weekend doing an 80-page giant. And they did it. Even if the story is not true, it's a great story, right? It's a very inspiring story. It's like, wouldn't that be fun to just lock yourself in a hotel room and slowly go insane with a bunch of people trying to meet this crazy deadline? And
I'm sold already.
What's that?
I'm sold already. Is it hard? Is it probably not a good idea?
Will it be a growing
experience? I'm fired up already.
That is a t-shirt for you. I want to make you a t-shirt with my screen printing stuff. It says, is it hard? Is it probably not a good idea? Check a box. Yes.
Add it to my to-do list.
But anyway, so I thought, wouldn't it be cool to do the same kind of thing where you get 6-7 different cartoonists together and set up an arbitrary intellectual property and deadline? Okay, so we're going to come up with a fake intellectual property and we're going to do it in 36 or I don't know, you know, 3-4 days. That's all you've got. And you split up the workload amongst all of you. So it's like, okay, I'm going to pencil pages. And then once I got them penciled, I'm going to send you the digital blue line and you start inking. And as soon as you finish the inks, you pass it over to Jimmy over here. He's going to do the colors. And then as soon as he's done with the colors, pass it over to him for lettering, right? And we don't even know what's going to happen in the story yet. We're just going to dive in and do it. And then you broadcast the whole thing on Brady Bunch style tiles on a video stream wall so people can watch the whole thing happening. You're talking to each other while it's happening to keep each other motivated, keep each other interested and on task or whatever. And it becomes a spectacle for the whole world to see. And you record it and you redistribute it afterwards as a video podcast and whatnot. And you get to watch this documentary style thing unfold as a creative project comes together. And you watch everybody panic as they try to get through it. It's both a spectacle, but it's also a window into how the creative process works. And you've got this thing you can sell at the end. You got a book, you got an 80-page book you can sell on the internet or wherever it shows. You got something to show for all that agony. That is a really cool idea. And this Google Hangout thing just makes it totally possible and free, you know?
It's because the tech is available, but something like this just lowers the barrier so far.
You'd have to pay for a premium Skype account. You would have to or get the GoToMeeting to do something like this, right? Or even like this Adobe Connect stuff, you know? You'd have to get something like that in order to do it. But now, boom, there it is. It's just free and it could be broadcasted. Yeah. One downside, as far as I understand, the broadcasting of the Hangouts only works with Google Plus users. Like you can't be not logged in and see it from what I was reading.
Okay.
That's kind of a down, but
there's a workaround for that.
But anyway, it was just super exciting and there's too many possibilities. I mean, like my brain went crazy when you posted that link on Google Plus, like just thinking of all the things you could do with that. So, so exciting.
When it popped across my radar and I was busy with like 10 other things, I'm like, oh, this has to go, you know, I have to comment because it's really exciting.
And I was thinking about, I was just talking with my buddy, my best buddy Hoover. I talk to him every week and I was telling him about this and I was talking a million miles an hour because I was so excited about it. And I said to him, or he said to me, he's like, dude, remember in 2006 when you did, I recorded audio commentaries with him for my comic, my graphic novel, The Front. And he's like, remember how much trouble you went through to figure out how to record a Skype call? I had to record on two different audio channels and like sync them up after the fact. So every time we started recording, we'd have to go 3-2-1 clap so we could actually sync up our voices and everything. And then like editing in GarageBand was really hard back then. And it's just like, wow, you know, 5 years, that's it, 5 years. And now we've got group video chat that we can broadcast to anybody in the world. I don't want to sound like this kind of blinky-eyed, like wide-eyed kid going, oh, the future's great. But sometimes the future is great.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. It's great that this is available to then explore the possibilities. And I like that idea. So if you do...
is it difficult? How did it go? Is it difficult? Is it probably a bad idea?
Yep. Checkbox.
Anyway,
I don't know what it is. I guess that's like a creative extreme sports attitude or something. I don't know.
We'll start our own network, our own like the X Games, but for cartoonists doing dangerous things to themselves over a very long, protracted period of time. So instead of like crashing into the wall or whatever, and everybody going, ooh, it's like you look at them 5 years later and you see how much they prematurely aged and go, ooh, that'll be it. That'll be the payoff watching our extreme sports.
Yeah.
So do we need to go to the topic then? That was just the one thing. I mean, I guess we can put in the show notes links to the Google Plus Hangouts thing. And, oh, they opened it up to the public. So anybody can sign up now.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's good news. I'm intrigued. Let's see. When we started this conversation, you really planted an interesting thought. Do you want to circle back to that topic, or do you want to
go where you want to?
Go where I want to go. Well, I didn't take a note other than remember, Jersey said something cool in the beginning of the podcast. But
was it that thing when I said about never being ready?
Never being ready. What's funny is we were talking in preparation for this episode of drilling down into a little more hands-on, but I think the philosophy is just too darn tempting. And, you know, if you're going to be betting odds against Jersey and I, for sure not getting philosophical.
Right.
May as well buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah. Go to a casino, play some blackjack.
Yeah. Better odds there.
So what about, never being ready?
Well, I think it's probably an interesting echo of just a general theme about just moving forward.
Yeah.
In spite of it's just way too easy with I've done podcasts on this before, thinking about having just a huge wish list and set of expectations about what I want in a certain situation before I move forward, right? So for this project, I really got to, think about the world some more. Oops, there's these different, I'll go up and down all these to different levels and background stuff on writing, for instance, versus just writing.
Oh, yeah. That's what we were talking about last time, the last episode, where we were saying something about, like, if you sit around and wait till you can draw everything perfectly, you'll never get anything drawn, right? You'll never get any stories finished. And that kind of ties into a sense of never feeling ready. But at the same time, that can trickle down into everything that you do. I mean, something I struggle with a lot, and I thought about posting this on Google+, but you want to know what? I stopped myself from doing it because I didn't feel ready to share the idea. And the idea that I was trying to share was a sense of never feeling ready and never feeling like the thought that you want to pitch for discussion is fully baked. And how wonderfully, is it ironic? I don't know if it's ironic, but it was funny how I had this thing cooking in my belly saying, like, I find myself every time typing three words into the thing, whether it's a blog or it's a thing on Google+, or whether it's a thing on Twitter, and then I stop, reconsider, and back off, and then I don't do it. And then I wondered to myself, I wonder if any other artists really struggle with this. Because, like, sometimes you see people's social media streams or their blogs, and it seems like they're just kicking out whatever's going on in their heads and with, like, absolute ease. I worry too much sometimes about how whatever I've made is going to be received, because maybe it's not fully baked, maybe my idea is not fully baked, and I want to come off as being as polished and smart as possible. And so because of that, I stop myself from actually engaging. And so then I just won't be online essentially for like a week at a time, because I'm too caught in my own thoughts about, is the idea ready, And that actually kind of ties into what you wanted to talk about initially, about like doing surveys and self-reflection,
Actually, yeah, I think it does. What's funny is I identify with what you said there is with, I have oodles and oodles of Evernote clippings, basically, where it's like, I'm starting a tweet, do-do-do-do-do, nope, cut, paste into Evernote, and table it, possibly, because I always think about, what dialogue what am I seeking by providing this information? Am I trying to just vent which means I probably want to hear others echo a similar feeling or whatever. Or, and then I think, well, no, I really don't want to dwell on this if it's a negative thing,
right.
because I respect it too when other people actually don't filter that, but just, you know, long point short, because I could, you know, prattle on as far as, you know, the different sides of doing this. And once in a while I'll share like a silly thought, but it's definitely nothing meant to be like deeply revealing about, you know, inner challenges or frustrations or what have you. And anytime I do that, it's about framing it up in a positive manner so that it's something useful. So I try to always share something useful, right?
So in other words, Rob, you spin it. Is that what you're doing? You spinning it?
Is it spin? It's genuinely me, because that's what I do when I'm frustrated. I try to find something positive that I can use to build out of the situation. And if I can't, then I just move on, which is the most positive thing I can do.
What you're saying reminds me of something that I once dated an awful, awful human being who used to say to me all the time, don't be happy, be real. As if somehow accentuating the positive was, you know, absurd. You know, it was being disingenuous to focus on the positive. And I can see
think there's context where that could be, you know, it can be okay to just let something fly or whatever. But sure. But again, in a public venue, I mean, Twitter's like shouting out to the whole internet. It's cool if that's your style.
Yeah.
So I assume this the person that you from a previous relationship was would probably tweet stream of consciously.
Yes,
I would imagine.
Yes.
Okay.
This happened at the post office, and I'm so GD mad about it. That kind of stuff, you know, that would be the kind of stuff you'd hear from her. Yeah, you know, but I mean, that's not to say that that's what made her a rotten person. That was just
all of you stream of consciousness people on Twitter. No, he hates you.
Well, let me ask you this.
I'm gonna
try to put you in a corner here, and I'm gonna ask you, do you judge people sometimes for what they say like that? Like if somebody says something that, you know, because like, let me see if I can couch this in a way where people won't know what I'm talking about. There was an incident a couple days ago, maybe a week ago, maybe a month ago, where somebody said something kind of disparaging about somebody that I knew. And the somebody that I knew felt bad about it. And I rushed to this friend's defense, not online, but in a personal email. Because one, I'm not going to get involved in a public dispute between people that I'm not involved in. But I'm going to let my friend know that, hey, I care about how you feel. And if you're feeling bad, I'm going to try to make you feel better about it, right? And I said to this person, I said, you know, everybody gets to say whatever they want, and that's good. That person can have a dim opinion of you if they want to. You can have a dim opinion of them. Maybe they should have thought twice before they voiced it publicly. They could have done that in a different way. That's too bad. But the main thing is that they're operating out of a sense of embarrassment on their own behalf and has nothing to do with you. You just happen to be the trigger that triggered that embarrassment. So don't try not to feel bad about it. You know, we're going to say stupid things online eventually. It happens. But you know what? What that person did when they said that thing, I'm being so vague, you know, it set a lot of people off. A lot of people got mad about it, right? And even I was like, did you have to do that? That's too bad that you would, you know, fly off the handle.
Say it. What did I do? Just tell everyone what I did, Jersey.
Anyway, I'm going to back off now because I've just been really, really vague. But anyway, do you get what I'm saying here? What I'm asking is like, do you ever find yourself judging when somebody else, like, kind of flies off the cuff like that?
Sure, I'm human. Yep. I'll think it's kind of it's not a black and white thing. There isn't like a final judgment, I guess. If your question is it like a
I'm done
switch
with you.
That gets flipped and it's forever? Yeah. That's not how that's not my approach. But in the moment, I'll be disappointed and think, wow, I'm really surprised. I didn't expect this person to be so mean to this other person, right? That's unfortunate. And then wait to see what else transpires, and you know, try to be supportive on the sideline and or whatever if that seems appropriate, but not really try to engage in that, try to extend some kind of negative conflict or whatever, or announce, you know,
I disapprove
someone's action. Yeah. I was really disappointed when I was reading Wikipedia and I found out H.P. Lovecraft was quite the racist, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was a bummer. But I guess I judge him based on his creations as well. It's interesting that our creations aren't. We're like, as an artist, your creations are. You are context for them, and you're not, because it's really up to whoever wants to. If they're consuming of it, is only valid. It's, so for instance, if you have to have a DVD with behind the scenes, otherwise, what's the point? And then they see the behind the scenes, and they see that, well, wow, that actor is kind of a jerk. But that's part of their deal. It has to be everything. Fine. Or someone can just watch a movie and not care about the extras, and you know, that's a product in and of itself. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I'll be judgmental in the moment.
Yeah.
But I also probably hold on to it too, and don't.
That's where I was going. That's exactly where I was going. Is I was wondering if the hesitation of engaging sometimes and not feeling ready to, because the idea is not fully baked or whatever, is out of, well, I don't want to be that guy. You know, that's what I wonder if that's cooking in the back of my head. Like if I'm being just so judgmental about it. And so, I don't want to be that guy, you know? I wonder if that's part of what's informing my hesitation. Because I'm pretty sure it's not, maybe it is, but I don't know. I mean, like, at least in over here in the front of my big shiny pink head, I don't think it's a lack of self-esteem. I don't think it's that I don't think I'm smart or that my ideas aren't worth voicing. But it's a fear of how is this going to be received? How is this going to ultimately be reacted to, and am I going to be perceived in such a way? Oh, isn't that awful? I shouldn't feel that way. I should never feel that way.
Yeah, that is a toughie. I mean, because I know that that's what stops me too. And, you know, just to, if I'm having a particularly challenging month, you know, being the kind of person who probably should wear a shirt like you described earlier, right? Yeah, I go through a fair amount of stress with some of these creative challenges and projects and all that stuff, and life and family, whatever. But and that's one time where I'll get quiet, where I'm just kind of ebbing and back and forth between, like, yeah, I'm pretty frustrated behind the gun or whatever, trying to get certain things done, and, you know, for clients and creative projects or whatever. But I won't grump about it publicly.
Right. Yeah, I think we're both probably guys who think of our interactions online as the way we behave when we're out grocery shopping, right? I'm not going to be at the grocery store going, what the F is this? This effing price is no effing good. And get over here, you mother effer, because I want to effing talk to you about this effing. And not the swearing part, but just the aggression, right? Like, you know, I did the right thing. I did the right thing just now. See, so we both do it.
I know.
Guilty. Send me to the Phantom Zone. But you know what I mean? Like there's just like that kind of unfiltered aggression, right? And there's some people who do that out in the real world, and that's fine. But anyway, that's the rule of thumb I always tell people, is like when people say, like, oh, well, when I was at Kids Read Comics and I used the swear word when I was in some mixed company of cartoonists, and I remember Raina Telgemeier said, did Jersey just swear? And I'm like, well, dude, I do, you know, so when I'm really tired or frustrated or something. But when I'm at the grocery store, I don't. And when I'm online, I'm at the grocery store. So, right.
Yeah, so I think it's fair enough to have a measured approach. Well, one of the reasons why I think it's helpful to have a measured approach, not to say that's the only right way or whatever, because I seriously really love and respect many artists and people who just let it all hang out.
Yep.
I think that is awesome. But it's in my personality, and some of the like things that I do that I find are helpful and allow me to, you know, earn a living and whatnot. It comes from that measured approach and being good at it. And I have a chance to learn, and that if I hold back and take some time to observe whatever's going on and see not just that moment, because get some context. How did it come to this moment? What's going to happen after that?
Yeah.
And then oftentimes I have way more information to act upon. And when I do act, I feel quite fine with whatever I end up choosing, because that's the key for me.
It's your way of coping with the consequences of a situation, because you know that the next time you're going to be a little bit more prepared for it, and that makes it easier to get through the situation that you're getting. It's just a coping mechanism. It's a way to get through this whole business of being a human being, right? But so, in other words, here's me trying to do a segue into talking about surveys. So you give yourself a survey when after enduring a life experience, right? You want to hear something lame? I'll set this up and I'm gonna take the bullet to be the lame guy, and then you could be the cool guy. So I was going through one of my regular attacks of, did I do the right thing? Did I do the wrong thing? While I was driving in my car back from a meeting this morning, and I was doing that horrible thing where you let it to start to make you feel kind of bad, and you can feel your mood just kind of settling and getting lower and lower. And it's like, I got work to do today. I cannot be in this mood. I got to psych myself up. I got to get myself out of this. And like, some people will like do like slap in the chest and like, boom, I'm going to get pumped. I'm going to scream at the mirror or whatever. What I found myself doing, and this actually worked, and I feel so, like such a goof because it worked, is that you ever heard of like the, Hindu religious kind of concept of, I am not myself, I am the witness, right? This body is in pain. I am not in pain. I am the witness, that kind of idea. I kind of went through this little ritual of chanting, like, I'm not depressed. I am the witness to this depression. I'm not freaking out about this. I'm a witness to freaking out about this. And the next thing I knew, I was fine again. It was like I just distanced myself from the whole thing. And I don't know if that's just like some kind of stupid psychological trick. But anyway, this whole idea of like reflecting on what's happening to you in order to better equip you for getting back in the game, but also being better equipped to deal with the situation again. So like, and this is where surveys come in, right? What's a survey about? Starts a conversation. Why does it start a conversation? Because it gets you thinking about your choices. And we had some talks before we did this show even. It's like some like behind the scenes talks of like what kind of surveys work best. You did a survey first. I did the second survey, or poll, we should call them, actually. We did two polls on the Lean Into Art site, leanintoart.com. And yours was emotional. Mine was a little bit more abstract and vague. Is that sound fair to say?
I would call it a rational trap.
Wow, that makes it sound like I did something clever.
That was incredibly clever. Because one of the things you can do when you have a lot of choices that are fairly equivalent is then start attaching reasons and a dialogue and a story as far as, well, I feel more strongly about this choice because of this way I identify myself and what have you. And like, for instance, to get more specific, your survey was about when do you get your best work done? And the choices were early in the morning, afternoons, evenings, late at night, when I should be sleeping, right after a nap, when I should be working on something else, and finally, when the deadline is fast approaching.
Well, yeah, and some of those choices were
joking around. It's a really good one too. I'm not trying to insult it or whatever, but like, it's funny in that, I mean, it's, you can chew on those to infinity if you wanted to.
And that was the idea. It's like I was intentionally trying to do something where it could be like, I remember being in school. I remember getting frustrated with multiple choices where it seemed to me at the time that answers B and C are equally valid and there's no all of the above, right? So it's like, what am I going to pick here? And I remember getting really frustrated by that, and it got me to think really hard. And I never, as usual, I never came to an answer that I felt satisfied with, but I just kind of went, well, the clock is ticking, check one, right? Or circle one or whatever. So I just thought, like, well, this will be a fun game to play on the site. Let's see who interacts with this, and let's see if we can get a conversation started out of it. But then you pointed out a really interesting point about your poll is that yours was operating out of a sense of emotion. And it kind of came out of a conversation we had about Starbucks a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it did. I thought it was brilliant because I love books about how we decide things, right? How do our minds work? It's fun to help me come up with new approaches to create things, both in an artistic context, you know, storytelling, comics, and doing design work. Because a lot of design work, like user interface design, you need some kind of system, some kind of approach. And these hunting for that kind of information is always a way to keep building a toolbox of approaches and techniques to frame stuff up and present them and whatnot. And you provided a gold nugget of a anecdote so you went to a Starbucks and ordered, forgive me for that, by the way.
I know it's not cricket to go to a big corporate coffee place, but it was the only place within walking distance of where I was. Okay, so I mean, really, literally, there's no other coffee within walking distance of where I was. But anyway, yes, I went to Starbucks. Sorry.
Corporate coffee. It's still coffee and whatever. Got to do what you got to do. but they had a really interesting tip jar. Instead of one tip jar, there was two.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were labeled, and instead of saying something like, thanks for the coffee and thanks for the service or something like that, or I don't know, tastes great, less filling.
Yeah.
It was actually, well, maybe it was kind of a tastes great, less filling thing. What were the two labels?
Left was classical and on the right was country. And you have to remember, I'm in Ann Arbor, big NPR town. People who identify themselves for the most part as very educated and by some accounts snobby, although I love this town very deeply, so I don't think they're snobs, but some people have the perception of Ann Arbor. So yeah, as I looked at that tip jar, I noticed that the classical side was pretty full and the countryside less full. And I remember looking at the barista and I was like, very nice, nicely done, very clever, because I bet you're making more tips now, you know? And I didn't tip, but I congratulated them on a job well done, engaging somebody's emotions to say, you know, I wasn't going to tip, but darn it, I'm not letting country win this fight. And I'm going to put a dollar in there, right?
Yep, exactly. It made it an interactive vote instead of just a tip. Right. Tips are important and valuable as well, but it was more incentive to cause that interaction. Right.
Yeah.
And that was definitely what informed the survey I made, analog versus digital. My theory that probably doesn't sound very emotional by just blurting that out, but I think if you draw for many hours a week, you care a lot about what you draw, what you use.
Mm-hmm.
Right, your tools are your faithful companions and your weapons, right?
Oh yeah, you hear people getting to arguments over which is the best inking tool, and people will fight about it, like argue. Or when somebody who draws on paper is confronted with something like the Cintiq, right? The Wacom Cintiq. Mm-hmm. This goes back to something Ryan Estrada said on a Comics Are Great episode. RyanEstrada.com, super smart guy. Follow him on Google+. Everybody does. He said that people, I don't know if he actually said this on the air now. Maybe he said this in a talk discussion we had over drinks one night. He said, you know, people have to feel like they have to defend their choices. Like, even if you aren't asking them to, if you just say, I like this and they like that, everybody feels this compulsion to say, I like that, and here's why, right? Here's the reasons why. I got to defend my decisions in life. I got to defend who I am. Going back to what we were talking about earlier about watching how people behave online and going, I don't want to be that guy, you know, because why do I know that? Because I have a sense of who I am, and I feel like I have to protect it. I have to defend it against other people, right? Even if I'm not under attack. So, yeah, eliciting that emotional choice. And going back to what you were saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail you there. But this idea
it totally fits in even with the field of behavioral economics and how do we decide things? Well, there, the book, How Do We Decide, and the other book, that two books I've read a couple times, How Do We Decide and Predictably Irrational. And it's just about trying to understand how people go about choosing things. And one of the a reinforcing conclusion or thesis in both of those books is that we feel a sense of loss. And so justifying our choices has to do with us feeling pretty darn negative about being wrong, and we're going to lose something, or some part of us is going to die if this isn't correct.
Yeah.
So it's imperative to be correct, which is I think it affects everyone. Even if you are a super wizard Zen master, it's still whatever, we have the human condition. But
even if you're a super Zen master, you were driven to be a super Zen master by something, right? It's like nobody becomes a shrink because they feel like they're like perfectly well balanced and got a really good control over life. You become that because you're driven by something, right? I know I just made a blanket statement about psychologists, but or psychiatrists for that matter. But I'm just saying that
to talk with some.
Was that
want to? If they have a concern with it, by all means, start a dialogue with us.
Email me. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's probably a fair bet that most everybody, you can say that, feel a compulsion or an aversion to being wrong. And
yeah, to some extent. I mean, if you're good at dealing with it, it's there. Anyway, when it's framed up in such a way, and obviously there are books arguing for a point or whatever, and I'm saying I was convinced and whatnot for the most part. I found their point resonating.
Yeah. So in other words, you made a poll to manipulate people.
I did. So yours was a trap and mine is a trick.
I don't know what's worse.
I don't know. It's funny. So the choices in the poll I made were analog, digital, hybrid, more analog than digital, and hybrid, more digital than analog, and what's illustration?
Did you get any answers for that one?
None.
Okay.
It's too serious. It's like, exactly. This is how I get my stuff done. Yeah, I'm not going to click the joke.
Don't even joke.
Nobody joked.
And it got some discussion going in the Lead Into Art forum too, which I think is, you know, the comic, The Oatmeal, right?
Yeah. I've seen it a few times.
Have you ever seen the Ignite talk with the cartoonist who does? He did an Ignite talk in Seattle, I think. That's where he's based out of. And I think the title of his talk was How to Get 5 Million Viewers to Your Site, or something like that. 5 million daily viewers or 5 million monthly viewers, whatever. And he chalked it all up to playing to people's emotions. And a lot of the oatmeal success comes out of creating polls and creating comics that... Well, he just did a really popular one that's getting passed around a lot, talking about the Netflix split up, how they split their company into two companies, and he did it through I think it was a sandwich analogy or like a hamburger analogy, where a guy goes into a hamburger place and like, oh, I'm sorry, we don't sell buns anymore. You have to go across the street to get buns from the new place, you know, but you get all the fillings here, you know.
Analogies. It's a public service announcement that we need to say analogies can hurt people. and they aren't always safe. You need to be careful.
Well, why do you bring that up?
I don't know. It's a pretty bad analogy, but it sounds like it was worth it for the humor sake and whatever. And because, well, I know I do it all the time. So,
well, yeah. And you know, I might even be mistranslating it. It probably was about something else entirely. My memory might be failing, but anyway, he was absolutely can't, well, I don't want to say candid, but very straightforward in his Ignite talk about the way to get people engaged with your content is to speak to something they feel really emotionally engaged in and then poke at it, either take a side or present them with the two sides that they can take. And again, I only watched his Ignite video once. It was a 5-minute talk, so I'm probably, misquoting him there. I don't want to misrepresent the guy, but people will link to it in the show notes. People can go find it and listen for themselves. But it essentially drives along the same point as what you're talking about with your poll. Gosh, there's so many different ways we could go with this, Rob. You could say, all right, now let's apply this technique to making comics. Now we can apply this technique to keeping ourselves from losing our marbles when we're making comics. This idea of self-evaluation through creating our own inner polls. Or how can we map this poll strategy onto other things in promoting your work, promoting yourself? Going back to the thing that I was talking about earlier, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to buckshot a million options at you and say, where do you want to go?
Okay.
Because you could go back to like my hesitation to post things online and blogs and social media things. Well, maybe what my inner poll should be, inner litmus test is it emotionally engaging? Am I playing to people's emotions? Or is that manipulative? Kind of, maybe a little bit it is, but is that a bad thing? I don't know. Or do we want to go with managing your life as a creative person through self-reflection and creating? Gosh, just before we did this recording, I was telling you about a problem I was having that I wasn't sure how to solve. And I said, I'm going to figure it out. And then you went, oh, here's a bullet pointed list of things you can consider in order to do X to make this problem to mitigate this problem a little bit, right? So where do you want to go? Which place sounds more interesting?
It's funny. I'm going to it's okay. I pick option D, all the above. One thing I thought is interesting, the reason behind using emotional content. Part of it is that's just how we communicate. So being a storyteller, your point isn't to provide a very neutral experience the entire time someone's reading your story, right? Or providing a piece of art, you typically are you have the information that you want to communicate, but you also have the emotion. And that reminds me of this quote that I don't have fully down, but it's from Bruce Lee, actually, from an old interview where he was talking. Let's see, what was it about? He was being interviewed about his role in the Green Hornet, I think, and something about how did he get famous, or why are his movies resonating or whatnot? I need to, this is definitely apocryphal, but the interview is real. And I did a quick YouTube search, but I didn't find it, but I will for the show notes. And he just said to the interviewer, it's emotional content. Emotional content, my friend, is just so critical to how, it connects across cultures. It connects, across the human experience, right? And looking at the ideas presented in books like How We Decide and Predictably Irrational, it's a critical part as far as how we communicate and how we think about things. So when I say, Jersey's survey is a trap, and then my survey is a trick, I say that tongue in cheek, and it's where it is genuinely that you could scientifically say there you go. And then you could say, well, you're a terrible person for doing that. Fair enough. But I would beg to differ, because my intent for providing it is the engagement. It's that we're here together and we care about this topic. I don't present it 'cause I don't care. And I'm not going to abandon the conversation after, manipulating you or whatnot.
I think the difference is that at the bottom of the poll, it's not like we have do you want to vote? It's a dollar. We're not trying to pull a fast one on anybody. And I think with something like when you're trying to build traffic and build engagement with an audience, that's not really trying to pull a fast one. It's implicit in visiting a website, in putting up a website. You're saying, please come to my website. You don't put up a website because you don't want people to come. And if you put up a poll on there to get people to come to your website, there's no trick in getting their emotions engaged, right?
Exactly. Well, if the content of the poll is good enough where it does resonate to the audience that shows up, good job for creating valid content.
Yeah.
Right. And I just did right again.
Okay, counter argument. I'm gonna be devil's advocate. Oh, so Sweet. You're saying that we should all be a bunch of Glenn Beck's and what's his opposite number? What's that gal on You don't watch broadcast television or cable television.
Nope.
Rachel Maddow and Glenn Beck. Okay. So you're saying we should be like them. We should be incendiary and we should be attack one another and get a user base fired up to fight for your side. Is that what you're saying?
We can invoke our emotions for a lot of different reasons. And I think their reasons differ from mine. Mine are for positive care and passion, right? Where if you are into this topic and you share a love for it like I do, thing I produced is resonating with you because we're sharing that feeling about the topic. Not because I am manipulating you in a way that is about, I don't want it. Oh, let's see. The other thing is I want you to be here actively. I don't want you to be here by accident or that you are just going along with what I'm saying. I like that we share this feeling about it. And it's not about setting your opinion aside for mine because I'm an expert. It's we're here to discuss this together. It happens to be the website that I'm controlling the content on, right? But guess what? By providing that, it's giving you a voice as well.
I'm so glad you're a dad. You're going to make a great dad when your daughter starts asking you those really tricky questions. You know, because for all the good that my dad did, there were times where I asked him some very difficult questions and he'd say, "That's because she's a jerk, son." I remember even.
I got those in me too.
I remember as a kid thinking, that wasn't a satisfactory answer. You were supposed to say something that was supposed to make me feel better about this. And that didn't make me feel better.
Some days daddy's tired.
It was the day when he had the glass that had the ice cubes that clinked a lot, you know?
Bread smells funny. Flammable.
His bread smells funny. But anyway, yeah, okay. So I love this idea that it all depends on how you use it. So it's not like here's the good side of the force and the dark side of the force. It's all one force, and it could just be used in a lot of different ways. Is what is the kind of Jedi master you would be?
Yeah,
that's unfair.
Yeah, that's true. Very kind of you.
So I don't know. Is there any place else to go with that? You got any other steam in you on this topic of the power of surveys, the power of inciting people's emotions?
Well, let's see. I do think that now it connects to this other area of your shotgun blast. If we look at Exhibit A, where your shotgun hit, we visited, anyway, we'll go to the other side. So there's a connection as far as the emotional content and self-surveying as well. Because in that case, the emotional content is about maybe one of the reasons. I'll ask you this. You tell me what it's for. And I'm going to try to not answer my question as I ask it. But what do you think the whole point of expressing some kind of self-questioning system would be, like a self survey or a self poll, right?
Expressing it, you mean, and this may sound redundant, but expressing this thing to myself or expressing it outwardly amongst friends?
Initially to yourself, truly self-survey. This is all meant to be in information that you're using. But and so what would the value be in doing that?
Knee-jerk answer, recentering myself. And when I say recentering myself, putting myself in a position where I'm at ease and feel confident in what I can do. You ever watch Gordon Ramsay on anything he's done? That kitchen guy, the angry kitchen guy, says the F word a lot. Really funny.
So, proper use of the F word is a pretty darn funny thing. But no, I haven't seen him.
Yeah, he actually uses it very, very well. He's one of the
Kitchen Nightmares.
Kitchen Nightmares. Yeah. That's the show.
Okay.
The show is but he's fun to watch. But what I was really taken with, the thing that's worth watching that show for is when you watch that guy move, it's not like he's like some kind of artist in the kitchen, but all of his moves are very deliberate. there's nothing in his movements that says like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do here. It's always like he's in full command of himself, right? He owns himself. That's what I'm talking about. These self-surveys, these self-polls are a way to get back in command of myself, feel like I'm operating out of a sense of this is where I feel like I can move with that kind of sense of purpose and not trip myself up with a bunch of stupid self-doubting garbage to talk myself out of actually making something today, right? Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've done it plenty of times, talk myself out of doing the thing I want to do, the drawing I want to do, because I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling it right now. And then the second thought comes in and says, but you're a professional. You do this professionally. When somebody gives you money, you can do it whether or not you feel like it. And then I go, oh my God, maybe I'm not a professional. Maybe I'm just a hack and I'm a fake and I've convinced all these fools that I'm somehow good at this stuff when I'm really not. And it just goes down and down and down. And then now you can't move like that. You can't do those deliberate movements. So this reassessment, this is saying, okay, Jers, here's your bullet pointed list of how you've defined yourself. Let's go back and look at that. Are you meeting these, you know, standards you set for yourself? Ding, 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 ding. I've re-examined this idea. I've held it up to what, this is quoting Richard Feynman again. We take what we hear, hold it up to what we know to be true. If they don't meet, well, that's that, right? So you do that, and then you recenter yourself, and then I'm back at the drawing board, and I've cleared my mind of all that garbage. Does that make any sense?
Devil's advocate hat coming on.
All right.
You know, that sounds all fine and good if you have all the time in the world to be wasting thinking about those kinds of things.
Hey, you know my ex-girlfriend.
Dude, you're breaking my
sorry, I didn't mean to break your character.
My role playing. You know?
Could you dress like her too? Then we could do some real role playing.
I do have long hair, but I don't know.
True.
No, thanks. How about it does sound try to be devil's advocate junior then. So that just does sound like a lot of work.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, well, what? So you feel right about it, but isn't it too late?
Sometimes it is. Sometimes you chalk it up to a wasted day. I've had my share of wasted days, and one of the things I've tried to really learn how to do is to let wasted days happen. And this is not to advocate laziness or sloppy thinking or to be glib or flip about a career. But if you're spiraled down too far and you can't talk yourself out of that situation, sometimes it's the only thing you can do to save yourself is to chalk it up to a wasted day. And now I'm going to watch TV, or now I'm going to go take a nap. Now I'm going to go get lost in some old comic books that I haven't read in a while. Now I'm going to put on my headphones and put on my cartoon theme song playlist and just get lost in that. The thing to do then is just lose yourself in something else so you can come back to it fresh the next day and at least give it another solid college try, right? But going back to the work part of it is, yeah, so what? So what? Like, anything is work, right? Anything worth doing is work. And if that's the thing I tell myself is that I'm doing stuff. First of all, I'm doing like what I always dreamt of doing when I was a kid. I'm making comics. I'm living in comics. Every day I get up, all I have to do is think about comics. And here's like the second thing I try to remind myself is I'm working in a field where I can go on Twitter and post about my day. And I can post everything I'm doing all day, and I don't have to worry about some guy looking over my shoulder going, hey, are you posting about me? Are you posting about somebody in the office? Are you misrepresenting the company? Right? Wow. Think about that for a second. I get to be completely candid, if I want to, about everything that I'm doing in my career, and I get to get away with it. If I were to say for more than one day, like let's say like 2 days, 3 days in a row, that this is too hard, what kind of a wimp am I? What kind of an unmitigated, cowardly, I can't think of a clean word to use for that. What kind of like just craven little sniveling, you know, goon am I that I look that kind of career in the face and say, that's hard. That's like work. you know? So yeah, of course you got to dive back in, and then you have the good days, you have the bad days. And then the last thing I would say to that is that ultimately, by having little rituals like, say, I am the witness or whatnot, or meditating. You know, you mentioned meditating earlier, and actually meditation is something that I used to do pretty seriously for a while there. It calms you down, and it gets easier to get into that cycle or that little ritual to get yourself out of it again. Yeah, it's tough at first, and you have days that really drag on, or like bad feelings that really drag on, and it's tough to get out of it. And, you know, either you go have a drink, or you vent at your friends, or you just put your head in a bag and scream for a while. But eventually those things start to get easier to get out of. You can spot it earlier. You can spot the bad feelings earlier, and you can pull yourself out of it faster just through the act of repeating those things over and over again. So I don't even know if I came anywhere near addressing what you threw back at me.
Well, I think you did. I mean, what I threw back was the point that this sounds like a like something that's expensive to do. Right.
Expensive in terms of time.
One thing, expensive in terms of time, in terms of discomfort and emotion. Right. Because it sounds difficult. And and I was trying to, you know, channel that or what have you. Why would you not do it? But I think what you, and of course I phrased it wrong, you know, just tipping my hat about. Because obviously that's I think it's a good idea. What I hear you saying is I don't think I could have put it better. You having things that are hard are okay.
Yep.
Sometimes it's not like there's one single way to deal with something that is hard, and using skills or tools or practices like something to give you a distance on it and use another aspect, right? So you had your emotional reaction and maybe that wasn't a solution, but now maybe you can step back and have like a rational one, or maybe within time have a better emotional one or whatever works.
Yeah.
But in some way you've got some distance from the thing, and then you built up some discipline by doing that. And so overall, you remain effective by being able to get back at it
right. And it's not as simple as just saying like cheer yourself up, like let's get psyched up, I'm gonna put on some Van Halen and I'm gonna feel like I can go back into the game or anything like that.
It's Iron Maiden, that's the proper thing.
I was actually gonna say Stan Bush or ELO. Does anybody right. listen to ELO anymore? I do, but anyway, it sounds like you're talking about like achieving some kind of emotional distance from it too, which isn't to say that like you're being a Vulcan about it. It's just that you're separating yourself from it just a little bit. It reminds me of something. I haven't mentioned Joseph Campbell in a while, I don't think. So I'll bring him up again. He talks about in one of his lectures, you come home from work, you find your family's murdered. What's the one thing that keeps you from cracking up? What's the one thing that sustains you in that hour of calamity? How do you keep from falling to pieces? And he says,
what an exercise.
Yeah. And he says, yeah, it's a great internal pull, right? It's like, what are the things? And he says, for some people, they say, this is God's will, and that's enough. And that holds them aloft. And he says, but if you don't got that, what do you have? What is the big idea that carries you through all crises? That's a meditation to fall back on and say, okay, you know, what is the big idea that's carrying me? You know, and like some people say, oh, what's your guidance? What's your big dream? I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm not talking about something like that you see in like a Lifetime original movie where somebody says like, oh, I had a dream that I could do such and such, and then the car accident happened, now I can't. Oh, well, this angel came and now I can. You know, it's not like that. I'm just talking about like, what's the, either the idea, the philosophy, the dream, or the sort of set of values, right? And that's the thing you can go back to reset yourself. If you hit your reset button, then you're centered again and you can go back into it. So.
Yeah. And just to highlight the point, you may not even have emotional distance from it too, but whatever works to give you better options, right? Yeah. You may be steamed as heck, but able to see the better option through whatever you end up using. And that's just another tool in your toolbox.
That's true. It's not
disciplined and professional.
It's not always about emotional distance, is it? I mean, because like you can make an emotional choice, but give yourself the time to make the informed emotional choice. Like I still feel passionate about this. right? Like, mm-hmm. like when I sent that email to my friend whose feelings were hurt, I was disappointed and a little angry on this person's behalf, right? That was an emotional decision that I made. There was no value to me or to anybody in the public. That was specifically responding to an emotional need of somebody who I care about, you know, right. but that was a measured response to the situation rather than going on to Twitter or Facebook or whatever going, this person is a jerk. They made my friend feel bad. You know?
Yeah. And that's using the best of what you know. So you are actually moving effective, like someone like, well, like you described how Gordon Ramsay moves through his kitchen, right?
Yeah.
He didn't waste the effort there.
Just watch the show with the sound off. Just watch it with the sound off and just really pay attention to the way that guy moves. It really, it's better than watching somebody dance. I was captivated by the way that guy moves around a room. Seriously.
I am curious. Yeah, cable is such a mixed bag.
Well, I was watching it on Netflix. So I don't actually have cable. I haven't watched broadcast cable television in a long time. So, and that's not, I'm not making a statement when I say that. That's just a personal choice.
Yeah, it's okay if you do. And I debate that off and on, you know, from it's, right. I can respect both choices. Anyway.
Yeah. So anything left in there? Anything left in that bag for me?
Let's see. I think we covered.
You gave the lion aspects. His courage. You gave the scarecrow his brains.
Yeah. I said, here's a quarter, kid. Go play in the railroad tracks. That's something my grandpa used to say to me.
Go play on the railroad tracks?
Yes. Let's see. I think that was really good. The never ready thing. I mean, I think that whole shotgun blast, I think that was solid. We may reflect back on this and
we're going to do a survey or we're going to do a poll, inner poll. Like, did we achieve our goals today?
I will every day.
You know, sometimes it's just enough to feel like I got excited about some stuff, you know? We're pretty goal oriented guys, but sometimes it's just enough to be like, I got really enthusiastic about an idea for a little bit there.
Absolutely. I know. Yeah, without a doubt, I'm certainly pretty darn goal oriented, but I do think you get to the point. There's different ways to deal with it. I used to really swim in goals and tasks I built applications to help me work through them, but, it's eventually I like to record it so I don't have to worry about it. But now I trust, you know, I trust the disciplines I've built up and if they aren't working. Then I do try to reflect and do something about it, but it's a little less stiff, a little less robotic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it gets ingrained into your DNA after a while, doesn't it? And you just find yourself kind of doing it almost like as a background process while you're doing other things. And then it'll kind of come to the foreground a little bit, and then you'll chomp on it, and then it'll go back as soon as it's not needed anymore. That's another thing that happens as a result of just being reflective a lot. What that girlfriend I was talking about earlier called self-absorbed. You just love yourself because you're always thinking about yourself. I'm like, well, first of all, isn't that a good thing to love yourself? Self-preservation, survival, make sure I'm putting good things into my head and mind and body. But then on the other hand, you know, it's not narcissism to make sure that you're doing what, cause like, it's also like, am I being good? And that has nothing to do with narcissism. That's purely an outward concern. You're concerned about, am I good? Am I useful? Am I contributing to the larger thing? Right. So that's the thing she didn't get.
I think it's. Yeah, you can run into that. So if you start trying these things and you notice that some of your friends are a bit annoyed by it, then I've been there.
Listen to my dad. He said, they're just jerks, son.
True. Jersey dad is right.
We'll get him on the show. They're just idiots. Don't pay any attention to him. Thanks, Dad. Helped a lot with all those difficult decisions I had to make. Good thing I never had to go into war or anything. Actually, that probably would help me. They're just jerks. Point the gun. Yeah. That kind of binary thinking would be very useful. Okay. Well, you know what? We should make some noise about a couple things. So at the time of this recording, I'm going to try to post this one as soon as possible. But September 25th, no, 23rd, 23rd is the drop dead date to sign up for early bird registration for 30 classes in 30 days at leanintoart.com. We've got 13 classes posted. Just posted three more in the blog today. We got Kevin Cross's color theory class is scheduled. We've got
an introduction to the super rad world of color.
Yeah. Hour-long presentation. Kevin's going to go into color theory. And that jives very well with a coloring in Adobe Photoshop Elements class that I'm going to be leading shortly thereafter or shortly before. I can't remember where it falls in the calendar. But
there's a calendar out there.
There is a calendar on leanintoart.com that you can subscribe to. So you can actually be advised of when these things are actually going to be happening. You can start to get a sense of where the things are going to fall on the schedule in terms of day, but also what time of day these things are going to happen. So it looks like our live stuff is just about full. I think all of our live stuff is full. So now it's a matter of like plugging in some time shifted classes.
Ah, excellent. Well, you'll be seeing a few from me as well. Mine are conspicuously absent right now, but I've been working on other things.
You just got back from a convention. You just got back from a long weekend, a long, long road trip. What was the final tally on how long you drove? Was it 14 hours?
I flew.
Oh,
yeah.
Cheater.
No, that's how I got a lot of work done in the airport and all that stuff.
Okay. For some reason, I had in my head that you drove. Okay, but still, you went on a long trip. You went on a long weekend trip, and so yeah, you're forgiven. But anyway, Krishna Sadasvam's got a 4-part series on there, character design series. So every Saturday, you'll be able to take a class with him. I'm going to be doing my comics fundamentals course, live presentations, followed by homework assignments in the forum. Where
also going to rock.
Yeah, the soup to nuts approach to making a comic or graphic novel. I'll put it this way. I'm not going to toot my own horn. I'm not going to say, like, it's a great class and everybody should take it. But what I'm going to say is that, I did it at the Ann Arbor District Library. They institutionalized it the next year. Now it's happening every year. Okay. That's a little pat in the back. That's somebody saying, we believe in this thing and we're going to carry it every year. So I must do a decent job of it. So that's something you get by signing up for 30-30. Tyler James, he's got Creating Compelling Characters.
Yes.
That's going to be a live interactive class. I mean, Tyler James of the 30 Characters Challenge. Knows a little bit about character design.
Organizer and participant in the 30 Characters Challenge, 3 years in the running. He's got a lot of comic books, beneath his belt, and lots of experience on that topic.
Absolutely. And then Brandon Dayton of BrandonDayton.com, character designer for EA Games, brilliant illustrator, one award-winning illustrator, is going to do a class on line value and how line value can be used effectively and intentionally to improve your storytelling. So, yeah, holy cow. 13 classes up and already it's pretty amazing. So yeah, we got another 17 to go to fill in and then the schedule will be complete, but there should be enough there to get a sense of what you can expect from this thing. So I just want to point people one more time at 30classes30days.com or just go to leanintoart.com and click the 30 classes in 30 days link for more information. There's 3 different tiers you can sign up for. You don't have to sign up for the gold tier, but I think you probably would get the most out of that one. A lot of
value.
That's
where you get the live interaction. So when the workshops that aren't time shifted, like many of them listed here on the site right now, you will have a chance to participate and act and interact live.
Right. You'll still get to see it after the fact, but you won't be able to ask that question. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I hear the most from people who listen to the podcasts I do is, when they meet me face to face or they send me an email, they're like, I find myself shouting at the iPod while I'm listening to you. And it's so frustrating. And I don't mean for this to sound like an ad, but I do hear this a lot. And actually, yeah, it's funny because, somebody's shouting at me. Big surprise. But
emotional content ties into our episode.
but yeah, they'll be shouting a counter argument at me, and they mean it as a compliment because they're like, well, you sound so natural and relaxed that I feel like I'm in the room with you, and then I find myself shouting at the iPod, and so it's great to talk to you face to face. So this is your chance to shout at me. There we go. That's all I was trying to say.
Awesome. Which is worthwhile. Actually, I have an example. I was listening to the recent Thunder Punch Daily, and I found myself doing that. No, not Thunder Punch. Also an awesome podcast, Fabulous Secrets.
I do too many shows.
Something to show for it.
Yeah. What were you shouting at me?
It's just a really cool... Fabulous Secrets, something to show for it. You were talking about how you have a class that's one of the classes that you're a part of in Ann Arbor is going to be actually producing an anthology comic based on a framework that you're going to set up, and you're going to be doing publishing of it through Kablam.
Yeah.
And I just was hooting and saying, oh my God, that's sweet. And, you know, things like that.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like, no, you're wrong, and here's six reasons why.
No, yeah, that's
I'm pretty excited about it. We'll see if it works. I mean, I've never done it before, so it's totally an experiment.
Is it hard? Is it probably a bad idea?
Ding, 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 ding.
Lock on.
All right. Oh, that will be our slogan from here on out. That'll be our call to arms for everybody. Is it hard? Is it a bad idea? So, okay. 30 classes in 30 days was the big thing we need to make noise about, right? I mean, there's nothing else going on in our lives for the next 2 months except this thing. So
yeah, this is big. Now's the time to join. It's with the discount. It's still a huge deal without the discount. And of course, we appreciate your support in either case. If you're waiting to say, no, I want to, you know, provide Lean Into Art with a more funding, that's wonderful too.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, this is not a cheap thing to put on. So that's why we're actually, you know, asking for a registration fee. But I think it's going to be really worth it. So, yes, the other thing you could do is, let's say you can't, you know, money's too tight, economy. Yeah, I know. We all know. Yeah. Then the next thing you could do is tell a friend and say, hey, there's this thing. It's super cool. These guys are trustworthy. I like what they think about whatever kind of other loving words you could attach to behind our names would be greatly appreciated. So, and a little bit goes a long way in terms of that. Word of mouth, very powerful. So,
yeah, we super appreciate it.
There's our plea. So, okay, now we can get out of here. Good talk, Rob. That was fun.
Yeah, thank you, Jersey. Jersey Drozd.
That's right. That's
who
I am.
We don't introduce each other lately.
I'm gonna write on a napkin, I am Jersey Drozd, and I'm gonna put it on my mirror, and that'll be my affirmation every day to center myself.
Why am I doing this? I'm Jersey Drozd.
And then, yes, then you'll say that every time until I don't know if I am or not. You might be. Yes, Jersey Drozd of comicsaregreat.com. And then I do a whole bunch of stuff there. Everything that I do is there. Comics that I do, all the millions of podcasts that I do are all there. Quick note, I was really happy to hear on Build and Analyze, I think it was the other day that I was listening to that podcast. Oh, what's the guy on that? The guy who created Instapaper.
Marco Arment.
What's his name?
Marco Arment.
And he took a moment to say how much he enjoys podcasts because it's a more personal, off-the-cuff, and intimate look at what would normally be in a blog post. And I thought, very nicely put. You know, I get ribbed by my friends sometimes, like, you just love being behind a mic. You just love hearing the sound of your own voice. I'm like, this is a lot easier than typing up a blog post. I'll tell you what, I want to share information. I want to engage with people. Yes. If that makes me an egotist, so be it. But it's so much faster for me to collect my thoughts this way than to try to type them out, make sure my punctuation is right, that my grammar is correct, and also that the thoughts are even clear, right? Because at least this way, it's a lot faster for me to back up and say, let me try this again. Let me edit this on the fly. And it was nice to hear that. And yeah, I do a lot of shows, but you know, it's faster than the alternative for me. So anyway.
And they're good. People should listen to them all. if you're into these creative topics, I highly recommend them. I listen to them, and you know, I work with Jersey.
But that reminds me, you do some audio things too. Where are they?
It's, let's see. So I do, let's see. I do the Polytechnicast, Art Geek Zoo Polytechnicast, which is just a, it's an art journal of, so being someone who is adventurous with his art and, constantly putting out in, you know, art goals and whatnot that, maybe you'd find interesting. I share that kind of thing via that. Like I intend to talk soon about how I'm actually working on, 9 talks simultaneously. Figure that's
and you're doing 24 hour comic day.
That's just one day.
The picture kind of the picture of foolishness right here, folks.
Oh yeah,
on the right of the screen. Foolhardy, that's the word.
Foolhardy, yeah, there you go. Fair enough. Yeah, so I do the Art Geek Zoo Polytechnicast, which it's a little bit of an art journal and talking about these different topics that I do, such as working on video games and UI design and how I mishmash these topics together, whatever. So there's that. And let's see. Then I do comics at Art Geek Zoo. And you can kind of find everything that I do at either, you know, follow the chain from leanintoart.com or go to interactive-storyteller.com.
There we go. So, yeah. So we both make a lot of stuff. Because we like thinking about things and making things with our hands. So we summed it up top to bottom. If you want to share any input on what we're doing with the show, you could either give us a review on iTunes, because we're on the iTunes now, or you can send an email to leanintoart@gmail.com.
And there is a contact link at the bottom of leanintoart.com as well.
Okay, lots of ways to get in touch with us. So, okay, let's get out of here. Good talk, Rob. Good show. I had fun. I hope everybody else did too. Thank you for listening and downloading, everybody. Until next time, I've been Jersey Drozd of comicsaregreat.com. I'm Jersey on Twitter.
And I'm Rob Stenzinger of interactive-storyteller.com and Rob Stenzinger on Twitter.
Okay, bye.
Show notes for this episode can be found at leanintoart.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at the user leanintoart, and you can reach us via email at leanintoart@gmail.com. And remember, leaners aren't wieners. Thanks for listening.